The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life, drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. And speaking about California, I was surprised to hear last week that a massive community search was being conducted in my community for a missing 11-year-old autistic boy. As you know, I don't really listen to the news, nor do I read the newspapers. But I did happen to turn on the talk show, John and Ken out of L.A., on my way back from my office, and I heard the story about the missing boy and that they had found him. Unfortunately, he was not alive. But the boy was found through an intuitive who was very unfamiliar with my community, and she happened to find what hundreds of searchers did not find, the boy's body. On the radio show that I was listening to, Pam Ragland came on and gave a step-by-step detail of her flashes of vision, while John and Ken were trying to give her a really rough time because they were huge skeptics. Finally, John and Ken became convinced after their interview when they invited the sheriff to come on their program, and to their surprise, the sheriff verified that everything Pam had stated was true. Later that day, I noticed a Facebook post from Pam, and I discovered that we were Facebook friends. I had no idea, so I took the opportunity to invite her on to share this story with all my listeners throughout the world. I think it's time for all of us intuitives to stop being so embarrassed and to start coming out of the woodwork so that we give people the opportunity to discover a new avenue to their own personal power. By the way, since her intuitive skills came out publicly through the conclusion of this search, she has been sought out by news organizations not only throughout California, but throughout the nation. As a matter of fact, she will be appearing on Inside Edition, and right before our interview, she had been called by The View, talking to her about coming on as well. So it's a great, informative, and fascinating show tonight. Please sit back, relax, kick up your feet, and let's dive into the world of intuition right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
The secret to all wealth, prosperity, joy, and abundance boils down to self-love and sustained focus. That's what it's all about. But how does one go about creating this mindset? It's actually simpler than you think. World-renowned Law of Attraction Master Harrison Klein will show you the same easy steps that celebrities, professionals, and millionaires use. You will be amazed as you begin to live your grandest dreams. Not certain of this? Remove all doubt for only a dollar. Yes, that's right. Only $1. It's a no-brainer. Go to HarrisonKleinInternational.com/dream and start rocking your world today. That's HarrisonKleinInternational.com/dream.
Hi, I'm Sue Elliott, Editor-in-Chief of Law of Attraction Magazine. I would love to introduce you to the magazine so you can manifest the life of your dreams. You'll find powerful wisdom, insights, and easy techniques inside every issue of Law of Attraction magazine, and it's available right now, digitally and on most newsstands. Visit lawofattractionmag.com to purchase your online copy today. That's lawofattractionmag.com.
Law of Attraction magazine is not associated with Law of Attraction Radio Network.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Okay, we are back. Now, I know all of my listeners out there, and I know there's a lot of you in all these different countries and the U.S., want to spend 3 days and nights with this phenomenal energy transformer named Eric Altman. Can you imagine talking with him one-on-one, having dinner with him, and finally breaking free of those chains that keep you from going forward? And talk about increasing your intuition. Eric's going to be decalcifying your pineal gland and shifting the beliefs that your parents and grandparents and their parents and grandparents had in order to clean up your cellular memories brought forward in your DNA. And to top all that off, now we can offer you a way to pay for this cruise interest-free for 6 months. That's so much better than your credit card, isn't it? Well, it's just another wonderful incentive that the universe is delivering to tell you it's okay to come aboard. Yes, now is the time. This is the cruise that you want to come on. And I can guarantee you that your life will never be the same. Your connection to the infinite intelligence will gain you such great insight as to your direction in relationships, health, and of course, your business and finances. Finally, you're going to get the answers that you've been looking for, and they've been right inside you all along. So go to lawofattractioncruise.com and sign up today. Don't wait, and bring a friend. Before we sell out, go to lawofattractioncruise.com. Okay, now let's talk to Pam Raglan. You can visit her site at aiminghigher.com. That's aiminghigher.com. Pam has developed her intuition skills for years through using her spirit guides and inner guidance system. And she has helped many people intuitively and to help them to instantly remove their emotional blocks through her thought shift system that she personally developed. She's the mother of two, and her daughter has also developed intuition skills. And she was instrumental in helping Pam to locate the missing boy, Terry Smith. Now, just to set the stage, Pam lives about 80 miles north of Menifee. She's never been to Menifee, nor was she even aware of where it was located. After finding Terry, Pam and her family have been investigated by the Sheriff's Department many times over to make sure she was not responsible in any way for the death of young Terry. Each time she has been cleared, but unfortunately the Sheriff's Department keeps getting complaints and strong urging to re-examine Pam. For surely, there is no way that intuition can pull off what 100 community searchers failed to find. So let's talk with Pam Raglan. Welcome, Pam, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
You are a huge celebrity now in the state of California. Everybody wants to talk to you because of what happened last week. It had a sad ending, but at the same time, it carries a huge message. Pam, could you tell us the story of what happened?
That's a little bit long, but basically, I do this process, quantum thought shifting, that takes us back to the way that we're meant to be. Well, I've also done it with my kids, so not only am I intuitive, but so recently has my daughter been stepping into her intuition. And, you know, for the record, what I say is that what I believe, we all are that. It's just that we learn not to be that. We get conditioned to think that it's weird or You know, there's so many people coming out of the woodwork now saying, oh my gosh, thank you for saying this because I get visions, I get a gut feeling, I get these things, and I was afraid to tell people. And so I just think we're all that. So it's been, I worked with my kids when they were 2 and 3, so it's been really neat to watch them just kind of grow up in this world where they don't have the same kind of limits. So my daughter also is intuitive, and we were actually helping with those missing hikers in Orange County back at, after Easter. But at that time, I was not fessing up that I could also do this. So I thought, okay, she's 11, so if she's wrong, then no one's, you know, if I'm wrong, they're going to crucify me. But if she's wrong, they're not going to say anything, right? So I just kind of like, you know, let her like talk to them. And she can literally communicate like as if they have a telephone, but they don't. So we're talking to the hikers. Finally, by the third day they've been missing, I'm like, okay, I better jump in and say I'm intuitive also because I get different information and it's higher level. And I could give, you know, more clues and things like that. And so that's how we helped. And then we just quietly did it and went home. And really nobody knew. I knew when they found the girl and the mom texted me. And, you know, they sent us a thank you note. And that was kind of about it. So this boy came up missing. And the other part of the story is that when my son was 2 and I did this work with him, I didn't know he was autistic. But it turns out that he is, and that I had helped him, and that he was so normal that back at the end of 2008, U.S. Bank sold our house illegally, and it was all this trauma for my kids, and that brought out issues that he started having because autistic kids have a hard time with change. But right. Also in this double-edged sword, I realized that I had helped him. And, like, they still don't believe he's autistic. They keep testing him over and over, and the doctor, I mean, everyone knows he's absolutely autistic. Stop it already. And I found that I've been working with adults on the spectrum. So I have this place in my heart for autistic kids. I've started helping them, which, interestingly, a lot of the work I do with them is actually helping them be more intuitive. Because a lot of what we're trying to do, a lot of the reason that they're having trouble is because we're trying to make them use skills that are, frankly, hard to use and are full of effort. So when we take that effort out of it, we go back to who we are, tuning in, using your intuition, you know, things like that. So it's been interesting, you know, an interesting revelation. And at the same time, I'd always noticed that as I do this quantum thought shifting work with my clients and removing their fears and issues and things like that, that they all become more intuitive. And, you know, that, again, that makes sense because we are that, you know, so we're just right. taught not to be that. So we're involved in that. My friend calls me on Monday and she says, Pam, aren't you going to help with that missing boy? He's autistic. I'm like, no, I'm busy. I was getting ready. Finally, after 5 years, my court case with U.S. Bank is coming to trial in September, and I had some time-sensitive stuff I had to do, and I had a small claims for something else, a rental house I had, and I'm like, no, I'm busy. But then I had this feeling of dread, like, that day, and I ignored it. Tuesday, all of a sudden, I just had this moment where I just was overcome with grief, and I started crying. And then I said, okay, I have to look into this boy. And I don't really tune in unless there's a reason. Like, there's so many, I'm sure you know, like, there's so many things going on. You can tune into everything, so you have to just not let yourself do it. And so I've set these boundaries where I don't just, you know, spirits will talk to me, but I don't just let them. I can tune into intuition, but I don't just allow it. I kind of manage this whole process. But then I tuned in and I saw this one single picture that never changed of this boy laying under a tree by a particular building. And then I had forgotten, but my friend reminded me and my daughter reminded me, Mommy, you said he was by a house. And I think this is an important point because I had forgotten that part because it didn't make logical sense. So as soon as we take that picture and we start trying to evaluate it, that's when we get into trouble. Because I do remember thinking, well, if he's so close to a house, why doesn't he just go there and ask for help? So I saw this picture, so I called my daughter, and I said, hey, she was at her dad's house, see if you can tune in and see what's happening with this boy. She communicates with them. I call the tip line. They ask us to come out there, but I'm busy, and she's still at her dad's. So my kids come home that night, and I said, I think we're going to end up having to go out there and helping with that boy. And my daughter said to me, Mom, is he still alive? And I remember getting this sinking feeling, and I ignored it. And, you know, it's just as well because the truth is I wouldn't have gone out there if I had thought that he was passed away because I wouldn't have thought that our help was useful. Like, to me, it's the third day, it's 100 degrees, it's hot. Now it's getting desperate, and if we can help, we need to be able to help. So, again, I called the tip line with the information, and they said, can you please come out? And so that's how we ended up going out there. So we didn't get there until like 9:30 at night. I'd never been there before. I do have a friend that lives, I understand you're kind of in the area.
Yeah,
there's
I
like
am.
This big llama. So someplace, I have a friend that lives like someplace by the big llama. And when we drove past there, on the way there, my daughter said, Mom, isn't this the way, you know, to her house? And so I actually called her on the phone to see if she was anywhere near the place, because I really wasn't even sure where it was. And I called my sister, too, to see if she was anywhere near it. Well, she's in Victorville, but I didn't know, like, how close that was. And, like, but I was, because I was thinking, it's late, we're going to end up being out there late, and, you know, we might need some place to sleep, you know, while we're out there, is what I was thinking. So I'm, like, calling people, trying to see where this place is. And we drove by, you know, the llama by my friend's house, and then my kids, my daughter was like, Mom, I told you it was on the way to her house. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we go there, but on the way driving, I also saw this other vision of these city lights, and I heard the word no. And for me, it just pops in. Like, it's just a quick thing. I didn't evaluate it. I didn't give it much thought. I just noticed. So we get there, and it's the volunteer command center, and I'm looking at the map. I'm talking to the guy that's kind of in charge there, trying to figure out how we're going to help. And someone comes up and says, well, we're going to go search the city tomorrow and the drainage ditches. I look up and I see that same city light view, because this store is kind of up on a hill that I'd seen. And I said, no, he's not there. And they're like, well, the family wants to search. And I said, I totally understand that you want to honor what the family is saying. I was just telling you, I'm intuitive and he's not there. And for me, my intuition is direct knowing. Like, I just know stuff. Like, I get it all different ways. Like, some people get a gut feeling. And I don't know if you're familiar, but since this is your show, we can talk about it. There's a thing called human design. Have you ever heard about human design?
Yeah, a little bit. Go ahead. Talk.
Okay.
I think it's fascinating.
So I do human design with people. And human design, actually, and this isn't my systems. It's actually, it's probably the only system I use that I didn't create, but I just find it so valuable that I still do actively use this in my business. And when you do your design, different people, it literally tells you how your intuition speaks to you, and different people do get it different ways. Some people get a gut feeling. Some people get a feeling about something. My son is really hard because he's only like 1% of the population. He's like, he's literally open. Every one of his chakras or energy centers in his body is literally open. But mine is, I just know. And I've only ever done, of the hundreds I've done, two other charts, and one of those people has passed away, of somebody who gets that kind of intuition. And the tricky part about it is, when a thought pops in your head, you have to evaluate where it came from. Like, was that your thought in your head, or was it someone you like, where did that thought come from? And it can get lost. Like, it's not like a gut. So I've kind of learned not to evaluate, and I actually had this experience while I was riding my horse, and it taught me something, because I remember I was riding my horse, and I heard, hold the reins tighter. And I looked down, and I'm like, oh, if I hold the reins tighter, my horse is eating grass, and he's not going to be able to reach it, and so I ignored it. And then I literally heard again, it go around the corner, and I'm on this big, I was on this single track trail in the hills in Tribeco Canyon, actually, 1,000-foot drop on one side, and I couldn't see around this hairpin turn. And I thought, if I go that direction, I'm going to keep riding, and I want to get back and clean the stall. So I ignored it. And then all of a sudden, I feel my horse stiffen up, and he takes off. And because it's this single-track trail, usually when a horse takes off like that, you turn him in a circle. But I couldn't. Otherwise, we would have tumbled down this 1,000-foot cliff. And I had to literally jump off, and my head, like, thankfully, I was wearing a helmet, but, like, it hit a rock. I hit so hard that I got a lump through the helmet. And I remember after that, like, knowing very clearly that that was a lesson to listen to my intuition, and I hadn't listened.
Yeah, that's a big lesson.
it was huge. And, you know, thankfully, it worked out okay, right? My horse ran all the way to the bottom of the hill. Somebody saw this horse with a saddle and no rider. You know, they grabbed my horse. And the thing that scared him was actually three of my friends on their Icelandic horses, but the sun was setting, and they came up behind us, and all he saw was this big blob, and it scared him. And he's like, that's the only time he's ever taken off like that in all the time that I've had him. But I really knew it was a lesson for me. So then I said, okay, well, if a thought just pops in your head, like, how can I distinct it, my intuition, from just some other random thought that pops in your head? And I really came to this conclusion. I'm very logical. So if something comes in my head that's not logical and it doesn't make sense, then absolutely that's my intuition talking to me. And, you know, I see it again even with this case with this boy. The house didn't make sense to me, so I even forgot that he was near a house. And, you know, it's like so important. And I think there's really two aspects, right? There's us getting back to who we are and listening to our intuition. And then there's us learning how to use that information so that it can be useful to us. And so I saw that. So I tell him no. And then somebody said, well, then where is he? And I thought, aha, good question. And I work really well when people actually ask me questions. So I didn't think to ask that question. So I literally turned my body and moved it. And now I was facing backwards from where I had been, and I was facing the store. And this command center was at this little market in Menifee that was up on this hill. And I said, he's behind the store. And they said, you know what, we've searched back there. We've had hundreds of searchers. The horses have been back there, everything. I said, I'm telling you, he's behind the store. And this man that was an off-duty fireman named Dave, he was listening to all this, and he said, if I drive you around, will you know where to go? And all of a sudden I said, yes, I will. And I didn't even know until that moment when he asked me that I would know. But as soon as he asked me, I knew that I would. And I do this with other things like parking spaces. Like, I know I go into a parking lot and I know exactly which way to go to find like the best parking space. And it's just this little thing I've been doing. And I remembered yesterday actually that they're still investigating me, but of course I didn't, you know, kill the boy, so they're not going to find anything. But I remembered, oh yeah, I used to do that when I was 10. I'd play tennis and the ball would go over my garage into my backyard. We had like a quarter of an acre of land in Garden Grove, and there was ivy on all of our fences and stuck out like 6 feet into the yard. And all my balls would go back there and get lost in the ivy. So pretty soon I'd completely run out of tennis balls. I'd walk back there, and I'd know exactly where to find every ball. And I just really never thought anything about it. I just picked up all my balls and went and started playing tennis again. And I remember being like 10 when I was doing that. So I have to thank that guy, because had he not asked me that, I wouldn't have really thought about that. I mean, I thought I was going there to just use my intuition, and I really wasn't dressed for it. I was wearing like these crazy thongs and everything. And then we ended up like going through the bush and, you know, the dirt and everything. So he drives us around, and my first instinct was actually to go down this first street, but he misunderstood, and we went to the next street, but that was okay. And that area, I don't know if you've been, I know you're kind of from the general area, but have you been like in that area, like where the store is? It's like the hill, the roads are like dirt, and then some of them are like really steep, and some of them are paved and some of them aren't. And there were certain points where, honestly, I wasn't sure, I'm still not sure, if we were really on a road or if we were on someone's property. Like, but we were just trying to get to this certain area that I could tell I knew that's where he was. And so even when we went to the second street, I'm like, that's okay, we'll work our way over that way. And then we were definitely on someone's property, and there was like a horse arena, and there was this building. And from the back, it just looked like nothing. And he said, I wonder if he could be over by the building. And again, I knew it was in that direction. We drive over there around to the front of the building, and I said, that is the building I saw in my vision. And it still gives me chills every time I tell this story, because it's a very distinctive building. Like, they must have hand-built it. It was like an open hay barn, but it's not like any other building I've ever seen. So it really stuck out. And I think that, you know, that was in my vision as a clue. You know, it was really like a marker. And I said, okay, I know we're in the right direction. Like, he's got to be in this area. And again, your logical mind is thinking, well, how could he be so close to home? But, I mean, I knew he was somewhere around there, like that he lived somewhere around there, because that's where everybody was. I still didn't really know where his home was yet. So I said, okay, he's on this other direction. I knew he was on the left side of that building. So we headed back over there. We were trying to figure out how to get to that area. We ended up on another road up on a hill. We got out of the car. And by the way, it said no trespassing. And I'm like of the ask for permission, not forgiveness. like whatever. I'm sure nobody's going to criticize us or get mad, you know, if we find this little boy. So we saw this valley down there, and we're out of the car, literally hiking. And he says, those are the wrong shoes. I'm like, I know. we're trying to figure out how to get to this valley, and we can't figure out how to get down there. So we go back down the hill. We try to see if there's another road that goes there. We actually ended up going along this lot, this feedlot that was next to the store. And I didn't even realize how close it was until the next day they had that whole area caution taped off. And then I could see that we were literally right there. We were trying to get to the back of that area, and his house was literally next door. But, again, we didn't know. So we couldn't figure out how to get back there. We get back in the car. Then we go down the first street, which was, again, my first inclination, and there's a driveway. And it's open, and there's people out in the garage. And Dave says, I wonder if those people will let us, because I said, it's back behind there. And he said, I wonder if they'll let us drive through their property to try to get to that area. So he went and asked them, and we didn't know it was the family. We had no idea it was his house. And you know, he's gone for quite a while. I almost went over there. And he came back, and he said, all right. They said, okay. And I found out later they were saying, you know what, hundreds of people have searched through here. He's not going to be here. And he said, listen, my friend has a feeling. Can you just, like, humor us? And so they said, okay. So I'm kind of perpendicular to their driveway. We drove down. It was into this little valley. And then their property just, like, had almost like a valley in it. And then we made a right turn and drove back up this hill, and it was getting kind of steep. And I said, are you sure you want to take your Jeep up there? Because it was a really nice Jeep. And he's like, nah, let's get out and walk. So we get out, we walk to the top of this hill, and I smelled something. And I had stepped behind everybody else because I noticed this web and all these little things, but I noticed this web, and I was wondering if it was a widow web because it was kind of sticky, and I didn't want my kids to get bitten by a black widow because they were all there with me. So I'm looking at it, and I realize it was a widow web, so I tell everybody, hey, be careful. There's widows around here, and black and brown widows. And so I was in a different spot, and I smelled something, and it smelled dead. And I said, I smell something, you know, and he said, Dave said, well, you know what? I was in Katrina. I've seen dead bodies, and, you know, they don't smell like an animal. It must be an animal. And I said, okay. And I thought, all right, well, I've worked in the ER, and I've actually seen a lot of people that have passed away, but they were all newly passed away. So I said, okay, maybe he's right. But then I said, but then where is it? And when I do, and I knew we were still heading in that direction. And when we got to the top, like, I forgot to mention this part. We saw a tree, a single tree. And both my daughter and I knew we were looking for a single tree, not like a group of trees. And so we saw this tree, and we're like, there's a tree. And then I noticed the smell. So we're actually trying to find the smell. And there was a fence around this tree, almost like an animal pen or something. And we were trying to figure, and you know, and I already asked my daughter earlier, talk to him and see, like, I can do that too, but I was letting her do it. We were doing all kinds of stuff. We were, like, honking the horn to see if he could hear us. He could hear us, but he couldn't see us. I mean, it was so fascinating. And, you know, when spirits first pass away, it's like sometimes they don't even know that they're passed away. Like they're there with the body. And I'm just really, like, learning about this stuff. Like, when my grandma passed away, I was born on her birthday. She started talking to me, and it was really finally, I think, the first person that I'm aware of who had passed away and was talking to me. And every once in a while I have clients, like I have a client whose mom passed away, and she'll talk to me. And then my son's best friend at school, his mom died, and she was just like, I mean, I had to remind her of my rule because she kept me up all night when I talking to her. I'm like, no, you may not keep me awake. I'll come to you. And even I have to say now, this boy has been in our house, and my daughter can actually see spirits, and I don't. I just know that they're there. And she'll say, Mom, he's here. And I'll say, I'm sorry, you have to leave. And then he went in the garage. I'm like, no, you have to leave all the way, but I'll let you come back. So he's still trying to come back talking to us, and I don't really know what he wants, but I think it's more than to say thank you. So I will go and take the time and talk to him and see what he's trying to tell us. So anyway, we're up there, and I asked my daughter, did he go through any fences? And she said, and I'd already asked that question because there was like barbed wire and stuff like that, and I was trying to rule everything out, a direction to go. And she said no. So I said he didn't climb over the fence because Dave was going to climb the fence. And he's like, maybe there's an opening. We walk around, and sure enough, there's an opening. We walk inside, and my kids walk over to the spot, and they said, Mommy, I'm thinking ahead. They said, Mommy, there's a dead animal. And I look at it, and I'm a trained docent with the Nature Conservancy. I've been trained in all the animals in this area. And I'm looking, and I'm like, that's not an animal. And apparently my daughter told me, but I didn't remember this, that I called out, oh, my gosh, that's a human. But I don't remember doing that. Like, if I'd had my wits about me, I would have quietly taken my kids over to another side, you know, looked at what was happening there quietly, called Dave over. But apparently, you know, you're kind of in disbelief. Like, you're not expecting to find that. And it was like his hair, and it was the same color as the pictures, and it was a little bit longer, but it was the same style. And so I called Dave over. I just had my flashlight from my phone, and we had his big lights on his Jeep that was shining up there, and he had a flashlight, and I'm like, take a look at this. And he looks, and we both go, okay, we know what we're looking at. And then I said, we need to call the sheriff. And so that's what we did. And then, of course, I saw them coming, and we went back to his Jeep. So we're still in the valley. We didn't go up to the family or anything. We just waited there. And at first, I still was in disbelief. I was like, you know, maybe that's someone else. And he's like, Pam, how many, like, people are missing in this area? And you just, you know, you don't want it to be that way. And even we got to the top, and he's like, oh, my gosh, that was amazing. Like, I can't believe that you did that. And he said, you made a believer out of me. I'm never going to doubt again. And I said, but he's not alive. Like, you know, I really, by that time I had convinced myself that he was alive. And he said, but you gave closure to the family. And I'm like, I know still. So, you know, it's so interesting how things go. Because again, I remember I look back at my journal. I get a lot of intuition that way because I manage this process and I don't want to be bombarded. I'll ask a question, I get an answer. And I had written something in my journal and I had said, should we go help find this boy, Terry? And is he still alive? And it's giving me chills too, because I know that I wouldn't have asked that question if on some level I didn't, you know, wonder if he was really still alive, but I never answered the question. I wrote it in my journal, and then I set about preparing for my court cases and ignored it. So lots of lessons, because, you know, I really think that there's so many times that, you know, I could have doubted myself. When they said they're going to search the city, if I hadn't been so adamant about saying, no, he's not there, I'm not sure if they would have asked me, well, then where is he, you know?
Wow, this is such a fascinating story. Let's take a fast commercial break, and then let's come back. I've got some questions I really want to ask you. We'll be right back with Pam Raglan. Join us for the Ultimate Energy Cruise featuring the phenomenal energy shifter Eric Altman on October 4th. Spend 3 whole days and nights interacting with one of the most powerful energy healers of our lifetime. Go to lawofattractioncruise.com and sign up today. This is going to be a sold-out event, so don't wait. lawofattractioncruise.com.
The power of the I Am is yours at LOAAffirmations.com, bringing you the very best in audio affirmations programs and introducing our newest title, I Am Happy, Healthy, and Wealthy. All of the LOAAffirmations.com programs are MP3 instant downloads and come with multiple audio and subliminal tracks. Order yours today at LOAAffirmations.com.
Okay, we are back again, and we are talking to Pam Raglan, the intuitive who found little Terry Smith last week through using her intuition. So, Pam, let's talk about trial and error. How many times are you so sure that you've got the right answer? And how many times are you, like, wavering, not knowing but willing to take a guess? What is the outcome? How does that work with you?
Well, it's hard to know the average. This is what I know for myself. I've known for quite a while that my intuition is very accurate. And so if somebody, like, a lot of what I do, like, I'll answer questions for people. I have these free calls I do every month. And I answer questions for people, and I know that it's really like energy, right? Like, we know it's energy. So we're just taking that energy, and it's just like another language and translating it. And there's a few things that I've learned along the way of doing this, is that, you know, it's not my job to add anything to it. It's not my job to filter, you know, and again, something like this, like, you have to keep that in mind. But when I'm just getting information, you know, when I'm answering these questions, like, I know, oh, you know, I'll say, hey, I got something. Do you want to know what I got? Because I know it's, and it's not my job to filter. So from that perspective, people have been emailing me for years saying, oh my gosh, that was amazingly accurate. I was crying. I couldn't even come on because you were so right. So I've known that for a while. And again, I really attribute it back to this quantum thought shifting process because it does erase all that conditioning that says, you know, that we can't do that, that we're not that. But yet there is still this piece that you have to be willing to step into it and not care what other people think. And you know, it's funny for me, I totally knew that that was part of the lesson with this, is I was supposed to go forward. I was supposed to say what I know. I was supposed to help. And I was not supposed to worry about what other people think.
Yes, because looking at everything in hindsight, look what you have done. You have opened the eyes of skeptics everywhere. People are now beginning to look at this subject called intuition and know that it's more than a bunch of mumbo jumbo. What you have done is show people that we as energy beings have this power that anybody can tap into. It was really important.
Right, that's right. And, you know, see, I think that people kind of fall in three categories because my job before this was transforming companies, and that's actually how I got good at helping people, was I, like, no one else was paying attention to the people, but if you're changing a company, I'm talking like Fortune 100 companies, it's all made up of people, so I just focused on the people and helping people change and trying to figure out how to make that easier for them. And, you know, in doing that, I noticed this, that there's always about, like, roughly about 10% of the people that are open to something. And then there's also equally about 10% of the people that are actively resistant. And I've heard people put it this way. Like, they would say, listen, a UFO could land in the parking lot right in front of them, and they'll look right at it and say, nope, I don't see anything. and you know, I used to try to convince those people. And then I learned in transforming organizations, no, that's a waste of my time. Those people are never going to be convinced, so don't even bother with that. So then I realized, okay, if you just focus on the 10% of the people that are open, they bring that middle part along. And so I think what's happening now, what I'm seeing in the emails I'm getting and the feedback I'm getting and what I'm seeing, and, like, it's, you know, I mean, this one on the AP, it's, like, everywhere, all over the blogs, and it's not done yet. I'm doing the interview tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be on national TV. And I look at that, and I think what's happening is it's allowing that top 10% to come out and fess up and say, yep, you know what? I have this going on too, which is then trickling them into that middle group to say, yeah, you know what? I've had that too, but I was afraid. And I did a blog post on my blog, and I talked about this, like, how to tap into your intuition more. And I made a very specific point that I think is so important. A lot of this conditioning is religious. You know, I grew up that way. I completely understand it. I grew up in a Holy Roller Christian church. I later became Catholic. I've got, you know, both sides of it. And I totally understand all the fear that was instilled in me around things like this. Yet I always find it ironic that my grandma, who was a super duper, like, the whole, you know, Holy Roller Christian, she would have dreams and she would listen to them. And then you would go to the Bible and you'll see things like, you know, people used to listen to their dreams and their visions, and Jesus would go on the mountain and he would meditate. So even though, you know, like, I'm not a big believer, like, now I say I'm spiritual but not religious, but I don't think you can throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think if you go back and you look in the Bible, you see that 2,000 years ago people were doing this. And so it's fascinating to me that we've come to this place where a lot of it is religion that's teaching people to fear it, and I don't understand it. And yet, you know, the Bible will say people have gifts. People do have gifts. And so then why, you know, I mean, the people that have come to me and like, you're evil, you know, you need to, you're going to go to hell. I'm like, whatever. And then I'll come back and say, listen, the Bible also says you're known by the works that you'll do, that you do. So go ahead and show me all the bad stuff that's happening from the help I'm doing for people. It's not happening. And so, you know, let's see. So like, I'm also grateful in a way that I grew up that way so that I can come right back and say, listen, I can talk the Bible with the best of them. I know what's going on there.
Let me ask you a question. I consider myself to be an intuitive, and I know that there was this one instance where I picked up that I knew my client was absolutely 100% positive that she was going to pass this huge test that really would have changed her life. But I found out a few days later that she didn't. So knowing the law of attraction, is there a possibility that we can influence the outcome? And what happens when it doesn't, or that flash or vision that the intuitive has does not become reality? Can you help me with that?
Yeah, so I've asked a lot about this because I also, you know, I have my guides and I have direct guidance with that. And like, for example, like when Michael Jackson died, I felt compelled to stay up all night and ask why he died, what happened. I wrote it all down and I never told anybody. And I sat back and watched what happened. It was 100% right. I'm pretty sure I'll be blogging about George Zimmerman and, you know, this Corey Monteith that just died. I've been wanting to do that for a long time, but now it's giving me the opening for people to maybe, like, you know, listen to what I'm saying and, you know, for me to just do it and then not to go, why is she talking about that? So this is what I noticed. Okay, so when we're tapping into something, we're literally tuning into the energy, right? But we have to remember that everybody has free will. And so whether it's whether it's for us that we're tuning into that energy, because you could ask the same thing that says, hey, I got a sense of something happening that was bad. Did I create that or could I have stopped that? And so the answer to that is it depends. Okay, because in some cases, there's this thing called the, these are all things I've learned, there's this thing called the Akashic Records, and it's literally like the plan, right, of what's supposed to happen. So let's take my case with U.S. Bank. I'm not sure if I mentioned, but they sold my house illegally, blah, blah. So it was pretty much the most traumatic thing that's ever happened to me, even past this. And I went into the records, and I realized I could do that, and I said, was I supposed to lose my house? And I was told, yes, Pam. And I said, okay, then why? So you would know how the banks operate. So because I was like, as I've gotten into this and I got out, and again, see, it's the same thing. It's interesting. It's being willing to speak out. I did not want people to find out for the longest time that that happened. I was so embarrassed. I remember I was dating this guy, and I did nothing wrong, but nobody believed me, so I was like, whatever. I was dating this guy, and I was horrified that he actually found out that I had lost my house. And, you know, then at a certain point, I got so ticked off at all the antics that U.S. Bank was doing. I just came out, and I did a video on YouTube, and I started telling people, and all of a sudden, people started coming to me. And interestingly, me being willing to speak out about that almost like set the stage to not care what people thought, to be able to do this with this boy. So it's interesting because you know, when we care about what people think, see, this is all, we're here on this planet to learn how to be fully in our power. And when we care about what other people think, we're letting them take our power. And, you know, I've told my kids this for years. Like, my kids know, but Mom, you say if you care about what other people think, you let them take your power. I'm like, you are so right. I'm like, if you learn nothing else from me in your whole entire life, if I were to pass away tomorrow, you know, learn that. So that's the thing. So there are some things like that that are just meant to happen. We can get a premonition of it, and we can't really change that path. You know, in that case, like, the judges had stupid rulings. Like, there was, I can safely say that I did everything I possibly knew how to do at that time, and I could not change that outcome. So we'll see things like that. You know, we'll pick up on it, and we can't do anything about it. But yet there are other things, you know, that I've been shown that what happens is we'll pick up on something, and then that's the energy that's out there that's happening. And then that can sometimes, very often, it can be changed unless it's like a, you know, a super big predestined thing like that. So then instead of focusing our energy on what we're picking up on, then we shift the energy and focus it to what we, how we want it to go. And, you know, even in the case of the house, right, like, I mean, the shift, I remember sitting there going, okay, no matter how many notices they put on my door, my job is just to stay in my power and not let this suck the power out of me. Now, I can safely say that I didn't get to that point while I was there, but I'm at that point now. So, like, I saw that that was a lesson. I just, you know, was still working on it. So it's kind of tricky because we see things, and sometimes we can, with the law of attraction, change that outcome. Sometimes we have the conditioning embedded within us that isn't gone yet, that's still creating that outcome, and that's a lot of what I work with, is getting rid of that. And then sometimes, you know, it is just something that it's along the path, and the most that we can do is understand it and put it in a greater context.
Well, I can understand that perhaps passing the test was not the direction that she was supposed to go. But at the same time, with me seeing her actually passing and being so joyful, I mean, it was clear. I still don't understand how I could totally misunderstand what happened intuitively.
Right. Well, and see, the same as this, right? Like, I mean, I thought we were going to find a live boy, so I was so distressed that he was not alive. But at the same time, I wouldn't have gone there. And so I wasn't really thinking that that was valuable until now, like, the call. I mean, I get the police department. They're still investigating me, right? So they were here yesterday, and they said, we got 22 calls today from people trying to find you because they want help with their missing loved ones. I'm like, oh, my God. So I need to figure out a way to, like, set aside, like, some time every week and just help people and, you know, prioritize. And, you know, obviously that's not something that I feel inclined to charge for or anything like that. But if I can give some guidance to people, you know, then I will, or, you know, I'll figure out how I'm going to do that, right? I'm not sure yet. And maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't know. I just need to go find out how I'm going to help.
That's okay. It will be perfect. It will be perfect whatever way you decide.
So, like, in that case, here's what I'm getting about that is that you were picking up on the possibility. And that was a possibility, but that particular person that you were giving guidance to also had some negative conditioning of her own that about success in her life and some fears that she had, and so that kicked in. So you saw the possibility, and that indeed was a possibility for her, and she could have gotten past that, but she wasn't at the point where she was ready. And so, you know, we have to remember, we're picking up on the energy, and a lot of time it is, I mean, I tell people what their purpose is, I see possibilities for people, and one of the things I've really had to learn how to do is to just be neutral about it and let people step into their possibility when they're ready. Like, you know, people will say, like in coaching or whatever, this is a mistake, I think. You know, you have to hold the space for people. No, that's not our job. That starts to move into caretaking, where we're energetically taking on that thing for that person, and that actually takes away from us in our own power. So, but we can, like, in a neutral way, we can say, you know, this is a possibility for you. God, it would be so great if you stepped into that, right? That's, like, totally cool. And, you know, and then at the same time, we can also say, okay, here's some ways you may not step into that and, you know, help them out with that. And then at the end of the day, everybody's on their own path and they have their own free will and they have to decide if they're ready. And, you know, even in this path for me, like, I saw, when I first realized I could do, I mean, even just my regular healing, right? I mean, it's like miracles, removing people's drug withdrawals and they go away immediately, you know, finding out I can help with depression and PTSD and, you know, cancer and like all these things, like MS, like these different things that I've been able to help people with. And I literally found myself in front of this stadium, this is in 2003, of 10,000 people, and I snapped my fingers and all their negativity is gone, all their limitation is gone. And I was like, wow, how am I going to do that? And then one of my clients was doing this thing called like a psychic board. I think it's kind of like a Ouija board. And it came up and it said, give Pam a message. And she's like, I can't even ask my own question. I'm like, sorry. But she said, okay, what's the message? And whoever was guiding her said, tell her we're helping her. And she said, helping her do what? And they said, open the door to heaven. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. So I went back to my guides and I said, is that what I'm doing? Am I like opening the door to heaven? And they said, yes, Pam, but some people are going to call you like an antichrist because of the abilities that you have. And that freaked me out. And so then all of a sudden I'm like, Antichrist, Antichrist, I'm not the Antichrist. I'm the opposite of that. I'm helping people tap into that Christ-like nature that they have. And, you know, even Christ said, greater things than these shall you do. And I'm like, look around. He said, you know, he walked on water and he went through walls and he said, we can do greater things than that. And we're not doing it. Like, why? And then because my kids were 2 and 3 then, you know, it freaked me out. Like, I didn't want to put them in that place. And so I really like drug my feet in helping people. And so that's the thing, is that we have to, we seeing those things, we can't be afraid of it. We just have to say, okay, I understand it, and I'm okay to step into it. And actually, the coolest thing for me is there's this guy someplace in California. I'll have to find him and have him in my pocket, especially with all this publicity. But he calls himself the Antichrist. So I said, cool. If someone ever calls me that, I'll just say, no, I'm not. He is, and he wants to be called that.
But it's true. Everybody has the abilities to develop this, and it is the time of a great awakening. So the 10% of the people are going to explode into 20 and 30% of the people. Those people who wish to stay in the third dimension and not use these talents, that's their choice, that's their free will. But you are helping people to move into the other dimensions, the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimension, and that's what it's all about. And for that, I think we are extremely blessed to have you in the world. I appreciate everything that you're teaching. And I especially appreciate the fact that I didn't know anything that was going on in my area because I don't listen to the news. And there you were, and there I happened to be listening to a program on the radio, hearing you talk, and it's like, oh my goodness, she's in my backyard. So it's like, okay, there's a perfect tie-in that I would love to get my wonderful listening audience more information about you. So we want everybody to go to aiminghigher.com to find out more information, how they can contact you. And I know that you have classes coming up.
Right. And actually, I've taken most of my work that I do to home study, so people that want to work with me can just, instead of waiting around for me to start a new group, they can just do it right away. The live thing that I have coming up is this work that I'm doing with the autistic kids. I've most of my work with them has been at this higher level that I call quantum thought shifting. It's literally this recipe. I keep it a trade secret, but it's all these different, that's only like to protect me from the government, to be honest with you. There's all these like different things that I do in there that includes physically rebalancing the body and advancing it, and it's helping with a number of things, and that's where I ended up helping with autism. So I'm going to do that once live, and then I'll be taking that to home study also for the kids. So, you know, it's really, like for me, like that's my work that makes me so happy, is to be able to see, you know, children. Like my son was in Cub Scout camp, and there's this other little boy in this group, and we got thrown into this different troop because he lost his. And my son's going, Mom, what's wrong with that kid? I'm like, honey, he's autistic. And he's not even as autistic as my son. And my son's just so normal. People just don't know. And I'm like, you know, there's so many parents out there whose kids, I mean, they can't communicate or they've got ADD. And so anyway, at that site that you have, I have like free videos. I talk about that also, about why that's happening. And again, I get all that divinely. You know, I go into this, and I don't want to hear what the experts say. If they knew what they were doing already, these problems would be solved. That's how I look at it.
Well, the experts are wanting the kids to conform to our ideal of what normal is.
Exactly.
And I really feel that these autistic kids are coming in to teach us something.
Exactly.
That we need to know. So
yeah.
I'm again, a big fan of that. So
yeah.
Keep up the good work.
Okay.
And, you know, we are all out of time. Pam, this is so wonderful. And I would love for you to come back after you get through with your national interviews and everything. I'd love for you to come back, and we can talk more about your programs.
Oh, of course. Happy to.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much. Again, thank you for being a blessing to this world and to awakening people.
Well, and I say I followed my intuition.
And to all my wonderful listeners out there, take note of tonight's show. You are all intuitive. Don't be shy. Keep on talking about it. whether you have instances of being right or wrong, that's okay. Understand that in the scheme of the bigger picture, everything is working out for the best. Connect to your higher consciousness. Focus on activating your pineal gland and know that we are all awakening. And it's a great time to be alive. I look forward to talking with you next week as we learn about the higher frequency of sound and how those sounds tune us up physically for a better reception of our connection to the divine. Have a great week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.